Good morning, church. Oh, come on, we could do better than that. Good morning. Listen, we know it's a little rainy outside, it's a little mucky outside, but are we still excited about Jesus? Are we still excited that the Lord of Lords still reigns? Are we still excited that he woke you up this morning? I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, so a lot of us are going to be screaming at the TV later, but can we make a shout to Jesus this morning just for being good, just for being awesome, just for being faithful? Yes, Lord.
Turn it around.
don't know what you came in harboring, came in carrying, but I encourage you to just ask and plead with the Lord to turn it around, because there's nothing impossible for our God to do. He can do anything and everything except for fail. So that is all the more reason why we can trust Him to do exceedingly, to do abundantly. We can trust Him to keep us. We can trust Him to cover us. We can trust Him to turn it around, turn it around, turn it around, God. Turn it around, turn it around, turn. God, turn it around. We believe You, we believe You,
God,
too.
Turn it around,
turn it around.
God, turn it
turn
around.
It around.
God, turn it around.
Oh, God, we need You to turn it around, turn,
God,
it,
turn
around.
It around.
Whatever
God,
it is. That He's going to turn it around. We can rest assured that He'll keep our hope alive from the beginning to the end. You know, I love how the Father loves us. Here's why: because people fail us, right? People disappoint us, people let us down, but we were promised that He would be with us from the beginning even until the ends of the earth. Can you imagine someone telling you that they will be with you even before you existed? That's insane. But that's the way our Father loves us. That's the way our Creator loves us. He's consistent. He's faithful. He's consistent. He's faithful. He never leaves us, even when we leave Him, even when we forsake Him. He's still faithful. And so, God, we thank You. Can we just lift our hands all over this building? God, we thank You. We thank You that You keep our hope alive. Yes, Lord. We thank You, God, that You are our light in our darkest days, Father. We thank You.
Keep our hope.
Keep hope alive.
God, you keep our hope. Give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Oh, man. I am totally amazed how God works. How everything just flows together. Isn't he so good? Just isn't he so good? Early this morning, the Lord gave me one verse, and I thought it was just for me, but I want to read it to you. This is Jesus. I love to read the words in red. I'm leaving you peace. I'm giving you my peace. I don't give you the kind of peace that the world gives. So don't let your heart be troubled or cowardly. You know, the world's peace is based on your daily circumstances. If everything is calm, you have the world's peace. If everything is just going smooth, you have the peace of the world. But the kind of peace that Jesus gives us hope. Because we can have peace and hope no matter what we're going through. We don't base our peace or our hope on what is taking place. Because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And God's peace gives us hope and gives us faith to face everything that we have to face here. It doesn't matter what's on the news this week or what took place somewhere else. We can walk in peace every day. The world can't. We're still alive. We're still alive. His peace abides in us. And then he gives us permission to give it away. What an awesome thing that is, that we could leave our peace in a place and still carry it away with us. It is his breath. He is our inspiration. Be inspired. Be inspired. Glory, glory, Lord, how we love you. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. We give you our praise, Lord. We give you our praise. You're the only one worthy of our praise. And we surrender it all to you today. We just want to honor you, Lord, for giving us a life that is far above this world. For letting us live beyond and above and free of the confinements of this world. You are worthy. You are worthy. And I ask you, Lord, to let your peace and your hope and faith rest on all those within the sound of my voice. We distribute your peace around the world today. We give hope to a lost and dying land. I thank you that Jesus took one of his accolades and gave it to us when he said we were the light of the world. And we want to send light to dark, dark places. Every dark place be filled with the light of Jesus. You are worthy. Be praised in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, Brian has told me he found some keys. If somebody is missing some keys, I think they found them outside on a little, nice little, it looks kind of like a girly ring. If a man gets up, I know something's going on. So, it's got a little heart. If you're missing keys, he has them. Also, we are having lunch here today, and the youth have prepared spaghetti for us in the back. Now, if you have already made plans to go somewhere else, we'll understand. You don't have to eat here, but you do have to buy a ticket. So everybody make sure you buy a ticket, whether you're coming or you're going. Amen? You know, I just cannot get beyond how Scripture works, even when there are so many naysayers, but it always will. And as we come to this special time to receive the offering this morning, I want you to think about success in what you're participating in. You are guaranteed success. No matter how you give, whether you give online or whether you bring it up here and put it in the bucket, you can expect success. I am a living testimony of that. I live way beyond where I deserve. Way beyond where I've earned. Because there's a God who cannot lie or change his mind. Amen? Let's worship God in our giving this morning.
Worthy of it all, our praise, our worship, our dedication. Our God is worthy. Let's worship. You this next part, because in the New Testament, it teaches us that incense in heaven are the prayers of the saints. Right? Incense in heaven is the prayers of the saints. That's us. So the more we pray, the more the incense arise into the heavens. Therefore, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you're praying to God, He hears and He responds. Yeah. So we sing.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Hear our prayers. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him. Worship him, worship him, worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm sure that... Just remain standing with me, if you would, for a moment. I'm sure that it was an interesting night when Jesus and his disciples were sitting around the table. In the scriptures, it was known as Passover meal. Passover meal. If you didn't get a set of elements, please raise your hand. The ushers will make sure you got them. Praise God. There you go. Just raise your hand right quick till you get one. I'm sure it was interesting because it was a Passover meal and it was always looking where? Looking back. When I see the blood, I will what? I will pass over you. Okay. How many of y'all got the blood on you today? Come on. How many of you got the blood on you? Come on. But yet Jesus is at the table. Visualize this in your mind's eye today. He's at the table and he holds up the cup, and they knew what he was going to say, Corey. They knew exactly what he was going to say. But this time he flips the script, okay? He flips the script like we've done two or three times in this service already. My team's looking, what's he doing? This is in the end. No. Yeah, we flipped the script. Corey flipped the script. The Holy Ghost flipped the script. So he's sitting at the table. You see him and the disciples, and he holds up the cup. He doesn't say a thing about passing over. He says, "This is the new covenant. Come on, in my blood." Amen? This is the new covenant. Man, and the disciples are sitting there like, "What you talking about, Willis?" All right. Okay. What is going on here? This is the new covenant. I'm just delighted today. So, you know, for them, it was no longer do you look back, but where do you look? You look forward. Now, for us, what are we doing? We're looking back. Now, you don't have to go all the way back to Passover. You just go to the cross, okay? The new covenant in my blood. You have elements with you. Just remain standing in his presence and peel just the top layer off. Paul said this. He said, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. There's your bread right there. And he gave thanks. Lord, thank you for this reminder today. Thank you for this reminder that you took our stripes. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon your back. And by your stripes we're healed. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for your body, Lord, broken for us. You may partake of the bread. As you're chewing that, just remember what the Bible says, that as often as you do this, you show forth the Lord's death. You're saying this morning that his death was sufficient for me. Amen. Listen, you may say, well, I didn't take it because, you know, I cussed somebody out this week. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. You will never get good enough to take this. You never will. So I know what you're thinking. You know, I don't need to be taking communion. Listen, if you profess Christ, you need to be partaking of communion. You don't wait until you get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, you know. Because today is a day that you can say, Lord, afresh and anew for me, I just thank you for your death. All right? And I thank you that you are making me new every day of my life as I renew my covenant with you. We're renewing covenant today. Peel back that final layer. Be careful. That's the one that'll put it on your blouse if you're not careful. Don't pull it too fast. This blood. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why I love that Genesis story that has Adam and Eve over there in the bushes. They're over there in the bushes hiding because of shame now. Their shame has caused them to run and hide. And the Lord said, I'll take care of this. And we have a beautiful picture of the first reality of what it takes to take care of your sin and mine. It takes blood. And so Jesus slays an animal. And when you slay an animal, the last time I saw animals slayed, it's a bloody deal. And that's an early picture of what it takes for your sin and mine. And he took the skins and he clothed Adam and Eve. He said, come on, I got you a pair of pants and a shirt. Come on out of there. And he clothed them. And you and I today are clothed, not with your righteousness, but you're clothed with his righteousness. Because your righteousness is what? It's filthy rags. Y'all know the Bible, don't you? I'm glad you do. Your righteousness will not work. So his righteousness has been imputed upon you on the cross of Calvary. It is with this joy that we take a drink today together of juice that points us back to that sacrifice. Let's partake together. Day and night. Come on, sing it again. Day and night.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Come on, give him glory in this house today. Worship him. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Bless your name, O Lord. And all that is within me, bless his holy name, who forgives our sins and heals our diseases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. You're worthy of it all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, smile at somebody before you're seated this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Come on, for leading us into the presence of God today. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you. Speaking of thank yous, let me thank a family that is worthy of our thanks today. How many of you are enjoying the beauty of this magnificent screen here? Come on. Amen. It's beautiful. I'd like to thank some individuals that make up a family in our congregation for making this possible as a gift to our church. And there's so many things that we want to do in the sanctuary here and to renew it and refresh it and take it to a different place. But I want to thank Dylan and Leah Lowe and Scott and Caroline Lowe and Woody Lowe and Scott and Donna Hurdle and Melvin and Nancy Shamley for the gift of this LED wall. Would you? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. There's so many ways that, you know, you say, well, what are you doing next, Pastor? Well, our leadership really would like to see this sanctuary totally renovated. They really would. I mean, this burgundy's been here a while. These pews have been here a long time. How many of you know they have, like, nice theatrical seating that's available today? I'm not talking about the heated ones. Y'all been to the theaters too often. But I'm talking about nice seating and new flooring. And we have that as leaders. We have that in our vision. And we've already talked to companies, and they're giving us prices and things like that. And they're even sent us a seat. There's one over there if you want to try it out, okay? Nobody ever sits in it. But it's a theatrical seat. I said, what do you want me to do this thing? They said, keep it. No need to send it back. So just pray and give. You know, you can give more than your tithe. Amen? You can give above. You can give offerings. And believe God for greater things. Amen? But thank you so much for this amazing piece of equipment, technology that is helping us to be more effective. I want to speak a message today that is actually part two. It's called Releasing the Power. Amen. How many of you were here last Sunday? You got it, or you got it online? Praise God. Releasing the Power. This is the second part of this message. And part two simply means that the Holy Spirit wants to place another layer. Somebody say layer. On what he was saying to us just this past week. I thought I had pretty much exhausted, and I began to pray, and by Sunday evening last week and into Monday, I knew exactly what I was going to do. I was going to continue on this thought, releasing the power, releasing his presence and releasing the power. Last week, we talked about various means of releasing the Lord's power into a situation. Because you see, you are the salt of the earth. You are the means by which God is doing his work in the earth. Jesus is not here. He went away, he left us peace, but he also left us the earnest of the Spirit. He poured out the Spirit upon us that we might be his vessels, his instruments. It's not up to the preacher. Listen, this is my job is to inspire you. My job is not to build the church, okay? Your job is to build the church, and you build it by expanding his kingdom wherever you go throughout your work week, throughout your week. So we talked about various means by which the presence of God, the power of God, is released upon a situation. In other words, what are those situations that serve as a catalyst for God's presence and power to show up? I run into people all the time, you know, in public, and it's, hey, Pastor, have you got just a minute? You know, I've learned a long time ago that a shopping experience for me in like a local food line or Walmart, I'm going to run in here right quick and get something. No, there's no quick to it, okay? Because I'll run into 11 dozen people. Hey, Pastor, you got a minute? Well, sure. I never turn people down. So what's the answer to it? Don't shop in a Husky. Came out. So I do very little shopping in a Husky. But when I do run into places in a Husky, I get sidetracked. And that's a good thing. I love getting sidetracked and helping people. So there are situations that you and I can release the power of God. I want you to get this. I'm going to give you a little review here. And just realizing that last week we talked about those instances where the Spirit of God, the power of God is released, is when the Word of God is present. When you release the Word of God, it was Luke 24:32, that the disciples were walking along the road to Emmaus, and they said this. They said, did our hearts not burn within us? When did the burning take place? When he talked to us and did what? Opened the scriptures. Your words may be one thing, but when you bring the word of God into a situation, that's a catalyst for the Spirit of God to show up, the power of God to show up. Secondly, when you walk in an act of faith, Joshua 6 has the children of Israel marching around the walls out of a directive by their leader. Leaders do what? Leaders lead. Leaders lead. Leaders said to them, march around the walls. This is what God is saying. And when you go around the seventh time, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have the whole army shout. Okay? Have the whole army shout. That was an act of faith. They followed the command, the request of their leader. And then thirdly, there's a prophetic act. Remember the guy who lost the axe head? He had borrowed somebody's axe. We said it was an equivalent to having, hey, borrowing your neighbor's steel chainsaw. This axe, not everybody had one, okay? And so he draws back to cut another tree down. Why were they cutting trees down? They were building a school for the prophets. Prophets were going to school. Think about that. And they must have worked because they were operating with precision. We'll see that in today's message too. These prophets were operating with precision. They were spot on. And so he throws the axe back, and when he does, the head slips off of it and falls into the Jordan River. And so the prophet of God, somebody say prophet of God, Elisha says, where did it go? He said, right over there. He said, so he tossed a stick in the water in faith, and the axe head floated right up to the top. So you can release a prophetic act, and the Spirit of God can come on the scene. I've had people say this to me, Pastor, I want to give this to you. And they reach in their pocket and they pull out some cash. Pastor, I want to give this to you as a prophetic act that God's going to make provision for what you're believing for. Anybody ever had that? Anybody do that to you? I'm going to believe God with you. This is a prophetic act. I'm sowing something as a prophetic act that more is coming. Have that happen to me all the time. And I've done that to people as well. You say, give me that money that's in your hand right now. Not unless the Lord speaks a prophetic act to me. And right now he hasn't, okay? So a prophetic act is not connected to anything. It's just something out of the blue. And in this case, it was a stick trying to bring back an axe head, okay? And so then there's the point of contact. There's a man that Jesus had met along the way who had the most dreaded disease of the day. You remember he had leprosy, the most dreaded disease of the day. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't have to, because guess what? When lepers were there, you don't touch those guys. Those guys are commanded by the law to walk along the streets. And what do they say? Unclean, unclean, unclean. And if you met a leper going down the street, what are you to do? Get on the other side of the street. So you don't touch them, but what does Jesus do? Jesus reached out, the Bible says, and touched the man. I'm in Matthew 8, verse 3. He touched the man, and the Bible says immediately he was cleansed of leprosy. Likewise, you and I are to lay our hands on the sick, believing that they shall recover. It's a point of contact, a point of touch. I was looking there. Rico, if you would, look behind that pole standing right in front of you. Look behind there. There's a little basket on it on this side. Just look on there. There's a little basket right there above your head. All right, pull a little white cloth out of there. Let me have that. This is a point of contact. It's in there for a reason, because we may pray for some people. May happen today. You say, well, you know, my grandmother, she's not able to get here because she's bedridden. And according to the Bible, you can anoint this cloth with oil, pray over it right here, take it home, slip it on grandma's pillow. And that's a point of what? Point of contact. It's also an act of faith, okay? So, you know, that's why they're there. They're there for people who need a point of contact, right up there with the oil, okay? And then finally, we talked about something that releases the presence of God that you've already experienced this morning. This team right here did what? They worshiped and they released the very presence of God collectively in this room for you and I to be able to minister effectively. They released such a presence that we're all off script. We're not doing anything we planned. Okay? We plan every service. But guess what? God sometimes gets into our plans. Look at my order of service. Team members, you'll see communion's the last thing we do today before we leave the door. Not so. Okay? Okay? Because the presence of God says do otherwise. All right? So worship releases the presence of God. 2 Chronicles 20, 21, and 22. The Lord sends a prophet to him, and the prophet says, this is what you need to do. Put your worship team in front of your men with the AK-47s. Let them go before you. So the worshipers lead the way in the victory. And the same is true in this room right here. It's the worshipers who are leading the way for us to walk in victory and do what God says to do. Amen. Today we'll see that there are other ways. Somebody say other ways. I'm going to share with you three things today that I believe the Holy Spirit has reminded me that are in fact also a catalyst for seeing God move. The first of which is not a popular one. Compassion. Compassion. Now think about it in this term. When you go to see someone and because you have something for them, you know, maybe they're homebound. Maybe they can't get out. We just came through the holidays. Some of you did this for Christmas. You know, for years, God laid it on my heart for a lady right here in Ahoskie. She was not a part of this church. I met her when I was a hospice chaplain. And God spoke to me one Christmas and told me to buy her a ham and a turkey. And so I bought her a ham and a turkey. For years, I bought that lady a ham and a turkey. And I never told her I was coming. I never said, I'll be by there, you know, a few days before Christmas. But I always went by there, and every year she would shake her head. She said, you know, I didn't buy one because I knew you were coming. And I did it probably for 12 years. I went to that lady's house and bought her a ham and a turkey. Why? Because the Holy Spirit said so. Okay? And now she's gone on to her reward in heaven. So, you know, so I don't do that every year. Okay? I don't do that anymore. Now, God, what else do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for someone else? But when I gave her the ham and the turkey, what was that an act of? Compassion. I could see. I didn't have to have a lightning bolt experience. I could see that this lady had a need. She was living at a less than desirable set of circumstances that I could easily see as I visited her. And so I wanted to bless her and make her journey a little easier. So I offered her compassion. And in compassion, the Holy Spirit always showed up, and I left her house filled with joy. Okay? Compassion causes the Spirit of God to show up. Come on, think about that for a moment. I mean, it doesn't get you credit. You know, compassion's not going to get you credit like, oh, man, I couldn't believe it, man. He spit on the ground, made some mud, put it on the guy's eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. It don't get you that kind of newspaper article, you know, that kind of news spot. Can you believe it? He told her to put mud on her eyes. No, it's not the same thing. Or it's not like, hey, toss the stick over there and the axe head's going to float. It's not the same level. But yet and still, compassion opens the door for the Holy Spirit to come in. If you don't believe it, try it. Do something kind for someone this week, and you'll see God minister to that person. But showing compassion invites God into a situation. Let me give you a large example. Compassion on a grander scale. It comes from 2 Kings chapter number 6. It's a story, again, I've been looking at the life of Elisha. It's a story about Elisha the prophet. And Elisha the prophet is doing what? He is warning the king of Israel and telling the king, check this out now, he's telling the king of Syria, telling the king of Israel where the king of Syria is positioning their troops. And he didn't fly a balloon over the country to find out either. Okay. They shot three of them things down now. What's going on? He didn't fly a balloon over. How did he get his message? He got it from the Lord. The Lord is telling Elisha the prophet so that he can tell the king of Israel, these are where the troops are camped out at. And so Elisha, he must have been to that school some more because he's spot on when it comes to prophetic words. So the king of Syria, he wises up. He pulls his advisors together. He's the general now. He's pulling the lower ranks together. And he says, guys, wait a minute. Somebody has sold us out here. Who among you is honoring the work of a spy? Read the story, 2 Kings 6. It's raining today. You're just waiting for a football game anyway. So read 2 Kings 6 when you go home. Okay? He says, who's telling the king of Israel our battle plans? Who's spying and who's telling him where our troops are situated? And one of the advisors speaks up to the king of Syria and says, listen, None of us. We're loyal to you, sir. He's dealing with the people of Aram, which is the capital of Syria. If you see Aram in your Bible, say, what's he talking about? That's Syria. We're loyal to Syria, but there is a man of God. Notice this now. The enemy recognizes this. But there is a man of God. His name is Elisha. And he's a prophet, and he can tell you, I think it's in verse 12, he can tell you the conversations that you're having in the bedroom at night. Huh? That's a prophet. Listen, how many of y'all have ever had a prophetic word to you and are like, no way, dude. I mean, nobody would know that. You ever been in one of those meetings where the prophet of God just hits the bullseye? He says, I think it's verse 12, he says he can tell you what y'all talking about in your bedroom. That's the Bible. Don't you remember when a couple of weeks ago we were preaching, we were talking about Saul who lost his donkeys? And the servant says to him, there's now in this city, I'm in the King James now, there's now in this city a man of God. And he's an honorable man. And everything he says comes to pass. Let us go to him that he may show us the way that we should go. Remember that? The prophet would tell them where the donkeys were. Same situation here. A prophet of God, this time his name is Elisha, who knows with precision what the enemy is talking about at night in the bedroom. Wow. I like to have people like that on my side, okay, who know the story. And so when the Syrian advisors tell the king about Elisha and how spot on he is in prophecy, the king says, well, this is going to stop, okay? No more of this. So he asked his servant, where is this man Elisha? The servant says, he's in the city of Dothan. That's not Alabama, guys, okay? It's not Dothan, Alabama. He says, he's in Dothan. So the king of Syria does what? Immediately, he sends his troops and surrounds the city of Dothan. He's going to flush Elisha out of there. We're going to get rid of this guy, man, because he knows all the plans. So in the morning, the servant of Elisha goes out to the well. Typical thing. He goes out to the well. What's he doing? Drawing water for Elisha. And when he does, he looks up. The servant looks up, and he sees the armies of Syria. Wow. They move quick, man. The armies of Syria are surrounded the whole city of Dothan. That quick, they move their troops and they surround the city of Dothan because what do they want to do? They're going to take Elisha out of this thing, okay? He's not carrying a gun, but he's carrying a precision, prophetic gift that God has given him, and he's one of the worst enemies. Are y'all with me here? And so when the servant of Elisha, when the servant of Elisha looks, God says, Elisha says, Lord, open their eyes. Read the story. Open their eyes. And when the servant of Elisha looked again, he didn't see enemies. He saw chariots of fire. He saw a wall of fire all the way around Dothan. He says, that's an encouragement, man. Can I just tell you, when you look on the outskirts of what you're going through, when you look at the details of what you're going through, don't always take it to the extreme and say, man, the devil is so mean. Don't stop giving the devil credit for everything, okay? You know what? People ask you, how you doing? Well, I'm making it. I don't want to hang around somebody who's just making it, okay? Listen, be careful what you say. Why? Because life and death are in the power of your tongue, okay? So he says in Psalm 34, verse 7, it says, you and I should be encouraged. Why? Because the angel of the Lord is camping round about those who love and fear him. I don't care what you're going through today. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. You must understand that as a child of the living God, God has dispatched the angelic to guard you in all of your ways. He's with you. Even though you may not feel his presence, he is with you. He's with you. He has the angelic walking with you. Matter of fact, it was Michael W. Smith who wrote a song several years ago called Surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. Come on. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I know that I'm surrounded by you. Angels are camping around about those who love and fear the Lord. So it may look like everything's against me, but God, if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, worship the Lord today. If God be for me, who's against me? Open your eyes and see the Lord has protection over you. So Elisha prayed that the servant would see a wall of fire around them. And they open the eyes and they see chariots of fire. See, Elijah's sharp, man. He's ahead of the game. And so if you look at 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll look at a few of those verses of scripture, 18 to 23. Let's follow the story there. It says, as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. The army's surrounding Dothan now. And Elisha says, Lord, strike that army with blindness. Now, I've done a word study on this. It's not blindness like you think. It's not that they can't see. It's not blindness where they can't see. It's confusion of perspective. Okay? Confuse the enemy. That's what you should pray for yourself sometime. God, I'm just believing you, Lord. You did it in the book of 2 Kings. I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to confuse my enemy. He said, strike them with blindness, not taking away their sight, but taking away their perspective. And so he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Verse 19, Elisha told them, this is not the road. Now, who are they looking for? Elisha. Elisha's talking to him. Okay? Huh? Hello? Elisha said, hey, man, you're in the wrong spot. This ain't the road you're looking for. This is not the city. He says, I tell you what you do. Follow me. I'm in verse 19. And I will lead you to the man you're looking for. Come on. Elisha's trying to follow me. Are they confused? You bet they're confused. They're following the guy they're trying to kill. So he says, you just follow me. Follow me. And Elisha, you know what he does? He's sharp, man. He leads them all the way back to the capital of Israel. In those days, the capital of Israel was Samaria. Okay? So he leads them all the way back to Samaria. And then Elisha says, Lord, open their eyes so they can see. Okay? Now, Lord, take that spirit of confusion off of them. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked. And they had the spirit of Gomer Pyle. Golly! We're in Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, well, you see, you got all these troops in here, man. Should we kill them? Come on, can we shoot now? Look at what he says here. Verse 22. Do not kill them. He's got the whole enemy in his own city. He says, but don't you kill them. He said, would you kill those you captured with your own sword or bow? He says, we don't kill our POWs. In other words, set food and water before them. Let them eat, let them drink, and then they can go back to their master. So the Bible says, look at 23. He just didn't do an ordinary meal. Here's some Vienna sausages and crackers, maybe to hold you over. No. The Bible says he prepared a great feast. Have you ever heard, you know, what do you need to do to your enemies? Love them. Those who persecute you, despite what's going on, love them, man. Give them your best. So he gives a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their masters. So the bands from Aram, the capital of Syria, they did what? They stopped raiding Israel's territory. What happened? Compassion released the power of God to take care of the enemy. Come on, give the Lord praise today. What you and I need to do is we need to learn how to release compassion. You know, I'm a preacher who helps a lot of preachers, okay? And I get talked about. I get people that say things about me because I said this or I did that or I did something else. And sometimes I've been to somebody say, Pastor, I hate to tell you this, man, but I saw so-and-so the other day, man. He was running you down. I said, that's all right. So two or three days will pass by, and I'll see that guy in public. You know what I do? I rush right away. Hey, man of God, how you doing, bud? Good to see you, buddy. Hey, listen, I got something I want to share with you. And what I'll do is I'll bless him, okay? I'll just bless him. Hey, let me pray for you before you go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless my brother today. I release them in the power of your spirit. God, show them your power in the mighty name of Jesus. That guy he's the one that was talking smack about you. Doesn't matter. Because you know what's going to happen now? He's going to walk away and say, oh, man, I feel horrible. I mean, this guy's blessing me. He gave me a book. What does compassion do? compassion brings the Spirit of God. Listen, if I got angry at everybody that said something about me, I'd be living my life in anger. I would. So bless those who persecute you. Okay? Bless them. There was a guy one time that I knew just couldn't stand my guts. And I hated it. You know, I hated the fact that he and I didn't have a good relationship. And so I was praying. I said, God, what can I do? He said, I want you to start blessing him with gifts. I said, what? I said, Lord, I don't want to give him anything. He said, I thought you wanted some help. So I went to a Christian bookstore and I said, okay, God, I'm going to buy this brother a gift. And I went in there, man, and I pulled out my card and I bought that guy some nice gifts from the Christian bookstore. And I had them delivered to him UPS. And I'm looking at the mailbox every day. No thank you note. No text message. What am I doing? I'm wanting to receive some sort of affirmation that he got it. Do you know, to this day, it's probably been 10 years ago, that man has never said thank you for what I gave him. And you know what? He probably never will. And you know what? I don't care. I did what the Lord told me to do. And can I tell you something? Today, somebody say today, I have a healthy relationship with him. You know what I attribute it to? Compassion. I, in compassion, reached out to him and loved him even though he did not love me. Amen? Some of y'all need to hear what the Lord is saying to you today. Okay? Compassion releases the presence of God. Secondly, forgiveness. Oh, y'all just, some of y'all don't want to go here. I know you don't. Forgiveness releases the power of God. It's getting heavy in here, man. Forgiveness releases the power of God. So here's the assumption. I just wrote it down this way. So if forgiveness releases the power of God, what does unforgiveness do? Oh, man. Unforgiveness binds up the power of God. Okay? Unforgiveness will stop the power of God. It will bind the power of God. It will block the power of God. It will prohibit you from receiving all that God intended you to receive because you're locked up. Okay? You're bound by whatever it is that you're dealing with, quite simply. You are trapped in something that has, here we go, offended you. I tell people this way, look, man, get over it. Because you know what? You're locked up and you're the only one that's got the key to let yourself out. That person, the person that you're angry at, the person that you can't seem to forgive, they're going to Sam's Club, they're going out to eat, they're going, you know, they're just enjoying their life, and you all bound up because of y'all's relationship is no good. And they're just living their life because you have the key. You got to do what? You got to forgive them. The devil is exercising his right to torment you mentally and emotionally, and he has cut you off from the flow of God's power in your life. Jesus warned us about this. This is going to be interesting. Jesus warned us about this. I'm just giving you the Bible. I'm studying the Bible out loud today. Jesus warned us about this. He was on the Mount of Olives, one of his favorite places. And he was talking about the matters of the future with the disciples. These little big old generic terms. You know, wars and rumors of wars. Things like weather, earthquakes, famine. He talked about that. You've read the passage. Then he moved from conflict with nations and wars and rumors of wars. And he got down to, somebody say, specifics. He got down to specifics. He started talking about personal relationships. Jesus said that this would be the characteristic of relationships in the last days. I'm going to Matthew 24, verse number 10. King James Version. And then shall many be, what? Offended. I underscored that word for you. Many shall be offended. What? I was having this conversation with Pastor Mike just a few days ago. How much is many? How much is many? It's at least more than what? More than half. If you got 100, how much would many be? 51 at least. Okay? And Jesus says, in the last days, he said, many shall be offended and shall do what? And shall betray one another. And shall what? He's going to take it a little farther. And Jesus said, they will hate one another. The verb offended, many shall be many shall be offended. What is the word offended? It's a verb. The form of it that we understand in English is to be scandalized. It is to be scandalized. Many will be scandalized in these days. If I were to ask you a question this morning, how many of y'all have some challenges in your family relationships right now? Don't raise your hand. But there'd be a lot of people in this church that would say, oh, Lord, you're talking about family, man. We still ain't got that solved, okay? Oh, Lord, my mama. You know, some of y'all would just go off on a story. That's why I'm not going to ask you, okay? Why? Because many shall be offended. The word offended here is to put a stumbling block or a what? Trap. The word scandalized means to set a trap. I got a trap up here this morning. I'm glad the worship team didn't step on it. Many shall be offended and scandalized. It means to set a trap. In other words, when that trap was set, that was the devil wants you to hit that bait, that place where the bait would be setting. That's the scandalized. That's the offense. He wants you to be offended, okay? You know what happens if you hit the thing? You know what happens? Any of y'all ever done any trapping? If you hit this, okay, that's where the leg of the animal is caught, okay? And you go by the next morning, you got this tied to a tree. You know, you go by the next morning and check your traps to see if anybody was offended, okay? Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm offended. And guess what? If you're offended, if you're in this thing, guess what? You're not getting out. Somebody's going to sell your hide, okay? Listen, there's a lot of trapping that goes on where I live on the Chowan River. There's trappers up there. You hear boats out early in the morning. These guys are setting traps this time of year, okay? Muskrat, otters, they want to catch them things. But here's the point I want you to get as a New Testament Christian. When he said, many shall be offended, the offended is the place where the bait is set. And some of you have taken the bait. Some of you got offended. And some of you sitting here this morning, I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of y'all are carrying stuff that you have carried and carried and carried long enough. Okay? You're going to have to do what? You're going to have to release, okay? You got to put your foot down on this thing and release. You got to give that up, because when you do, when you forgive, you know what you do? You invite the power of the Holy Spirit to come along and to heal you. Have you ever read in the Bible where it said, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed? Okay? One of my faults is, Pastor, it's just, hey, I can't help it, man. I just will never forget what he did to me. Okay? Well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never what? Come on, help me. No, 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 no. You can't say that. I forgive you, because what does God do with your sin? As far as the east is from the west, he's cast it where? Into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. But see, you go up here in your high and mighty self and you've accepted Jesus Christ and you think that God's going to bless you in the power of the Holy Spirit and you carrying this offense with you all these years, ain't going to happen, honey. God's not going to violate his word. He's not. You're just going to hold this thing and hold this thing. Some of y'all got issues between spouses. You got to get it out. Get it out in the open. Talk about it. Okay? You got to get over it. I'm helping you today. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm helping you. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. It's what we preach here, okay? So, put a stumbling block or a trap in the way of that another may trip or fall. Metaphor meaning to offend. All I've done is taken this verse and rightly divided it, trying to tell you what it means, okay? Proverbs 18, verse 19. You're offended? You know what the Bible says? The book of Solomon, the book of wisdom. Solomon says this, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, okay? You know what they have around cities in the old days? Walls. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. Man, we need to be on the watch for unforgiveness. That bitterness that sets up in our lives, it will cut the flow of God's power off in our life. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Make every effort. He's talking to you now. He's talking to me. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. And look at what happens if you hold on to this offense. The root of bitterness will grow up to cause trouble and defile who? Many people. Riding along in a car one day in Murfreesboro, and this is when Mr. Edwards used to own the Exxon station in Murfreesboro. How many of y'all know where I'm talking about? Riding along there, man, I look at my gas needle, and it's on E. I mean, good gracious, man. This was before we had lights that said, you know, you're low on fuel. And my fuel gauge was on E. And I pulled in. The guy was with me, you know, pulled in. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting some gas. Don't get it from here. I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, that dude ripped me off on a car sale several years ago, and I've never forgot it. Don't buy no gas from here. I said, look, he ain't done nothing to me. I'm filling my tank up. Okay? He done nothing to me, dude. Edwards ain't done a thing to me. And you know what? If he had of, I need gas, man. I don't care. I'm going to get over it. I'm going to pump the gas. This guy was mad because I was buying gas from somebody who offended him. I'd say he's bound up, wouldn't you? Make every effort because, you see, that bitter root will cause trouble and it will defile many. What's defile many mean? If they've been offended, they're going to open their mouth every chance they get and going to tell it to anybody and everybody who will listen to it. Okay? My wife has a little thing that she does. When I get on a little rant once in a while, how many of y'all get on a little rant with your spouse? And I'll just be going off, man. I can't believe it. And I'll look up, like, is she not listening to me? And she's playing her violin. I said, what? She said, I've heard this story before, honey. You got to get over that. Okay? Sometimes I think my wife is the Holy Ghost. Okay? She's over there playing her violin like I've heard this song before. Okay? Listen, if you've been offended, I'm going to tell you something. If you've been offended, you need to get over it, dude. You need to get over it. In fact, right now, I'm just going to ask you. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you been offended by someone? Don't answer it. Answer it to yourself. And if you said yes, I want you to make every effort, like I just read you a moment ago, make every effort to go to that person and say to them, listen, I know you and I had some issues, man, but I want to get this where? Behind us, okay? I want to get this behind us. And I want to say to you, listen, for whatever it's worth, I want to say to you, you know what? I am sorry. I'm sorry. My relationship is important to me. My relationship with you is important to me. And I want to get this behind us. Okay? That doesn't mean you're going out to dinner next week. Okay? Listen, I've got some folks that I've patched some stuff up with. I still ain't, look, I'm not going to get in that again. Okay? I'm just telling you. I got this one solved. But I'm not stupid, okay? So I'm not going to go down that trail again, but I do need to get this off of me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? Come on, clap your hands to the Lord today. Got to get this off of me. Why? Because forgiveness will open up the path for God's presence to come. Third and final point. Unity releases the power of God. Unity releases the power of God. Let me just say to you as a body of believers here at CSIC, you are an amazing testament for the New Testament church. I look at you today, you know, you go right down the road, black, white, Native American, Hispanic, all over the building, just go, you're a hodgepodge, a collection of the people who live in this community, and you are walking together united with the heart of God, worshiping Him in the same facility, okay? And not only that, you love each other. Come on. You love each other. You do. You remind me of myself when I used to go to the Orange Bowl and get a cone of ice cream. They only had three flavors, vanilla, chocolate, or come on, y'all, swirl. Come on, y'all. Come on. Y'all look like a swirl. Come on. Y'all look like a swirl, a zebra cone, they used to call it. Come on. You have done such an incredible job of being a positive witness to the body of Christ of what the church should look like, okay? It's an amazing thing. People ask me all the time. I have people that ask me almost every week or so. I'll run into somebody. Let me ask you something, man. How are you able to bring cultures together in the midst? You're in the South here, man, a culturally challenged area, racially charged southern part of the U.S. How are you able to have the blessing that you have at Carpenter Shop International Church? I think the psalmist answers the question. Psalm 133. Psalm 133 says this, how good and pleasant. I often understand, why does he use two words? Why didn't he just say one? How good it is or how pleasant it is. Because good and pleasant mean two different things. I'm not going to spoon feed you. Look it up for yourself. Okay? Good and pleasant in the Hebrew mean two different things. He says how good and pleasant it is when God's people, if you're in the King James, what does it say? Dwell. Dwell is a better word than live because dwell carries with it a sense and a perspective of permanence. You know, you ain't done nobody a favor if you're white and you went to a black funeral. And you ain't done nobody a favor if you're black and you went to a white funeral. It's when you learn to dwell together. Okay? Yeah, we went to a Christmas party. We got whites, blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans at our job. We had a good time at the Christmas party. Well, thank you. That's once a year. But have you learned to dwell together? Are y'all hearing me? Have you rubbed shoulders together day in and day out, week in, week out, month in, month out? Because there is a difference in black and white, and it's not about color. The cultures are two different cultures. Okay? There's a lot of difference. And you have to learn, and the only way you can learn is to mix with another culture. You've heard me say it before. I go to the grocery store. I choose my line based on the cashier. I don't get in white people's lines. Some of you are laughing, but this is the truth. I don't get in white people's lines. Why? Because I want to learn something more about a black person. Okay? So they'll say, Pastor, I'll take you down here. I say, no, I'm good. Well, like, you don't have to wait in my line. I'm good. I'll wait three people deep here, but I'm going to get in front of a cashier that's not the same color as me. Because when I step up to her register, it's an exchange of conversation, and I get a chance to learn something about her, and she gets a chance to learn something about me. It's called education, okay? We're going to educate each other, all right? So, listen, practical. We teach this. We live this, okay? We respect each other. We love each other. The psalmist said how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together, live together in unity. It is like precious oil. He's using metaphors here. He's using things to describe it. It is like, okay? It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Verse 3, he uses another metaphor. It is as if. Are you got this? How many school teachers in the house? Am I teaching it right? These are metaphors. Metaphors. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there, remember that, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Three simple verses, classic psalm on unity. Verse 1 says how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. In other words, unity brings God pleasure. The pleasure of his presence and power being able to freely settle in upon you. I don't want to go to an all-white church. I'm sorry. I don't want to go to an all-black church. I want to go to a mixed church. Because I've discovered in Psalm 133, he says, when you come together and learn how to dwell together in my presence together, there's where the blessing is. Who's growing today in America? Multicultural churches are growing today in America. Some of you are listening to me online. You say, man, I don't believe he said that. I said that. Multicultural churches are the churches that are growing. The all-white church, the all-black church. Some of those churches are dying on the vine out in the country. They can't even make it. They can't survive COVID. But the churches that will come together and worship together and dwell together are the churches that are growing. Okay? We're growing, and guess what? We're going to keep on growing. Verse number 2, it is like precious oil. Here we go. Oil poured on the head. When they anointed with oil, they didn't use a nice little rollerball thing like we do. They poured the horn of oil on the high priest, and it ran down his head, down on his beard, down on the collar of his robes. It ran down to his feet. He said, when you come together, it is as if the oil of the Holy Spirit. Anytime you see oil in the Bible, it is a type of Holy Spirit. That's what it is. So what happens when you come together in unity? The Spirit of God, the anointing of God shows up in the place. Why? Because you're dwelling together. All right? Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Then third and finally, he says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. First he's talking about oil, now he's talking about the dew of Hermon. What's the dew of Hermon? I mean, I'm reading that for years and I was thinking, man, what is that? I never knew what the dew of Hermon was until I went to Israel. I'm standing at the base of Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, 9,000 feet above sea level. A majestic mountain that you can see on a clear day, man. You can see the mountain. It's so beautiful. The top third of it is solid white. Why? Because it's up so high, it's all snow covered. And the snow melts. Y'all stay with me now. The snow melts. I'm with the guide one day. I said, man, I said, what's up with Mount Hermon? He looked at me, he said, Psalm 133, Pastor. And I said, what? He said, step over there and read it. And I'm over there to the side reading. My people on my tour are taking a little break, getting some water. And I read Psalm 133. He says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. So he gives me about 5 minutes, and he comes over there smiling. He said, did you read it? I said, yeah. He said, so what do you think about that? I said, so the dew of Hermon is the snow? He said, yeah. The snow melts, and it's up high, 9,000 feet, and it's steadily, every day, every hour, running down to the bottom. And it ends up right there. And he pointed over there. I said, well, what's that? It's a ditch. He said, oh, no. It might look like a ditch to you, but that's the beginning of the mighty Jordan River that runs all the way down through the beautiful nation of Israel called the Promised Land. And it provides every bit of the nourishment that this land of milk and honey needs. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling down on Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? Mount Zion in the Bible is always a type of church, a type of the church. So when the people of God come together in unity, it is a catalyst for God's Spirit to be poured out and bring, here we go, a refreshing. A refreshing. When you come to church, honey, you ought to be refreshed. Okay? Every time you come into these gates, you should not have to sit here and say, oh, man, when is he going to finish? Come on, man, I got to go. No. You should be saying, wow, that was fast. It's only 11:30. What's going on here? You should be refreshed every time you come together. It should be as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. I love the last part of that verse. For there the Lord commands his what? Blessing. Commands his blessing. Even life forevermore. God, fill this house up. Fill this house up, Lord. Use us to do it, Lord. Use us to do it because we have done what we could to be agents who allow the Holy Spirit to move. We've been compassionate. We've even loved our enemies. We let them live and held a pig picking for them. We were kind to that person who mistreated us. We just chose to forgive them because your word says as much as it's possible with you, just be at peace with everybody. And Lord, we've come together to worship every week of our life in the midst of diversity, people that are not like us. Because you said that that was where you were going to pour out your blessing. We chose to dwell together with all kinds of people. We heard it as a kid, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Hallelujah. God, help us. Help us not to be cocky nor arrogant, like we're the only church that's got it right. But help us to be an example, Lord, for other churches to see, to watch, to look at, to experience, and say, man, I pray that we could do that as well. Lord, we don't take it for granted. This is you. This is not us. This is you. It's all about you. You have built this church. You said, I'll build it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Jesus' strong name. I wonder if my ministry team could just make your way to the front. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, I love the presence of God. If you could just make your way to the front, I'm just going to ask you today, is there anyone here? Come on, let's just take care of spiritual business really quick. Like, is there someone here today? You'd say, Pastor, man, you read my mail today. But I need to get something straight. I need to make a rededication, a fresh commitment to my faith in Jesus Christ. I took communion. I participated, but I just need to say, Lord, I just need to get things really straight between you and I. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand right quick till I acknowledge your hand? Is that you, God speaking to your heart today? Anyone? I just need to make a rededication of my faith. Anyone at all? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God's dealing with you by your spirit. God bless you. Raise that hand. Anyone else before we respond here? I just want to make a recommitment of my faith in Christ. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. All right, those of you that raised your hand, go ahead and stand to your feet. Let's all stand. Those of you that raised your hands, just come and let one of these couples bless you, pray with you. That's right. Just come on out of your seat. Let them pray with you. That's right. Make your way down. Does it take courage? Yeah, absolutely. But we're not here to embarrass you. We're here to bless you. Amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise for people who are making commitments to the Lord Jesus. Come on, that's why we're here. We're here today to make fresh commitment to the things of God. Now, are you here this morning? And you could join these by saying, Pastor, you know what? There is an issue of unforgiveness in my life. Come on. Don't even wait. Just come on. Step out of your seat. I do have somebody that I just need to lay it at the feet of Jesus this morning. There you go. Come on. Just step out of your place. Come on. There is an issue of unforgiveness. I want to settle the matter today. I want to give it to Jesus. I don't want to carry this anymore because I want God to set me free from all of this. Or maybe this, Pastor, I want to be more compassionate. I want to be more compassionate to people. I want to just love my enemies. I want to do good to those who persecute me and talk about me. I want to leave the stuff behind that's tapping on my shoulder. That's right. Just come on. Come on. God's touching people. God's touching people. Let him touch you. There you go. I just want to lay it aside. Just want to lay it aside. I promise you, I could write a book on this one, guys. I could write a book on it of people that I've just had to say, God, I just give that to you, okay? I just give it to you because I don't want to carry it no more. Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on, sing it, guys. Maybe you just need to pray for something else. Feel free to step out of your seat and come today. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together one more time. For the Lord Jesus, one who loves us, the one who causes us to forgive others, the one who causes us to reach out to people in compassion, the one who causes us to come together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, no matter what walk of life we're from, we just find peace in the midst of God's people. Hallelujah. Well, we love you guys, man. You know what? I'm excited. I feel the spirit of spaghetti all over me. Amen. Come on, touch down somebody. Pull for the Kansas City Chiefs tonight, if you will. You'll be on my team. Come on. Phillips, the Chargers, right? No, I bought this because it was cheap. Come on, somebody. I don't care about the Chargers. I'm pulling for Kansas City today. All I can say is thank God it's not Dallas. Come on. Amen. Thank God it's not Dallas. Listen, please, 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 go to the back there. You don't have to worry about a restaurant line or $15 a plate or anything. It's $8 a person. You can give whatever you like, but let's just support the young people today, okay? Spaghetti, salad, beverage. You don't even have to go outside. Just walk all the way back. And I told them, hey, 100 people. We can at least do 100 people back there. So let's bless them today. Would you please pray for Tammy this week? Tammy Peebles and Lee surprisingly are here today. She just lost her dear baby sister. And let's love on them. Just reach out to them and pray for them in these days ahead. Tammy, we love you, girl. Tammy served here for many years as a secretary on staff. We appreciate you and Lee. God bless you both. Listen, back to the back. Also, if you're a guest today, meet Harp and Brian at the table in the main hallway there. They have a gift for you. If you don't want it, give it to me. I like new coffee cups. So see them in the main foyer if you're a guest today. We'd like to have a record of your visit. God bless you all. Thank you for being a part of Carpenter Shop International Church, online church. We're so glad to see you today. God bless you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to us today. Hit share on that broadcast, would you? We appreciate the coverage. God bless you all.